And now, please, in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Scofield Bible, page 1212, and reading the 23rd and 24th verses. We have an Old Testament scripture to which we'll turn after a little bit, but we'll read these verses in unison, and then I'll give you the other scripture. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Verse 23 and verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read them together, please, and begin with me. Ready? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Turn back, please, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 89. And we'll be reading verses 23 through 25. These three verses, once again, we'll read in unison. And once again, begin with me, please. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Let's pray. Father, bless, we pray, the power of thy word in this place. Thank you for that spirit of thine which meets with us Sunday by Sunday. Thank you for this morning service. Thank you for the productivity of it. We pray for souls today. We pray for thy blessing and power to be manifest in this place. And bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and the Greeks foolishness. But of them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I want to speak this morning on the subject, is it a stumbling block or is it a stepping stone? Is it a stumbling block or is it a stepping stone? Holy Father, thou hast brought us to this place once again. And I pray that you'd give us the message that you have for us. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. An old violin master once said to his students, he said, before you have finished this world, it will do one of three things to you. He said, this world will first make your heart very hard, or second, make your heart very soft, or third, it'll break your heart. Two couples in Texas, where I pastored. One lost a baby. The woman blamed God. It wrecked her life, ruined it. And one day, in a fit of temper, she and her husband were fighting. She got a gun and pulled it and pointed it towards his head. He fell to his knees begging for mercy. And she shot her husband through the head and killed him immediately, entering about here, coming out somewhere around his neck or shoulder. As he was on his knees, begging her. All because she blamed God for taking her baby. A few days later, she was driving down Highway 43, 80 miles an hour, and 80 miles an hour in those days was about as fast as you'd go in a car. And suddenly she lost control, and ran into a tree, and she was killed. All because she lost a baby. And blame God. Another lady I pastored in Texas. It was Christmas time. The tree was in the living room. Jake and Nell, the parents, and their little boy David were going to celebrate the first Christmas that David really could comprehend what was going on in any way. He was 15 months old. Nell, whom I had won to Christ, and her husband Jake, whom I had won to Christ, were lovely Christians. Her boy was sick. She took him to the doctor's office. She parked in front of the office, got out of the car, reached in, picked the little boy up, and between the car and the door of the doctor's office, little David died in her arms. Nell DeBoard was her name. Nell, she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find every parent who loses a child, and I'm going to try to comfort them. She read the newspapers carefully, and every time, whether they are members of our church or not, every time any child was taken in death, regardless of what age, Nell DeBoard made a beeline to their house and told them of the goodness of God. Strange, isn't it? Same thing. The one was a stumbling block. The other was a stepping stone. The one, it was a block or stone that tripped. To the other, same event, was a stone on which they stepped to higher places. A Christian, a preacher in North Carolina, went bad. He resigned his church years ago. I knew him well. Preached in his church while he was still pastor there. Fine young man, but he went bad. Went into sin. I was in North Carolina 2 weeks ago preaching, and a man said to me on the street, I walked up and I said, sir, you know if you died, you'd go to heaven. And he said, yeah, but he said, I wouldn't go to church anywhere. And I said, why? He said, because I used to go, and he called the name of the church this fellow used to pastor where I'd preached. And he said, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. I've lost confidence in everybody. When that preacher went bad, I lost confidence in everybody. Next day, after I preached, a fellow drive me back to my motel. And I said, have you gone to this church at Walkertown very long? He said, no. I used to go to a certain church and call the name of the church this pastor used to pastor. They'd gone bad and quit the ministry. And I said, my soul, that's been 20 years ago. Are you still serving God? Oh, yes. He said, my pastor made some mistakes, and he's out in the ministry, but he got me saved, and he taught me all most of the things I know about the Bible. And he said, he's not going for God now, but I'm still going for God now, and I've let that thing that happened to him, I've made it make me more careful, lest I won't stumble and I won't go into sin. Strange thing. Same thing. One fellow said, I've lost confidence. Another fellow said, I'd really be careful. Same thing. Notice how it affected the two fellows in a different way. Two Christians are mistreated. One says, I'll never trust him again. Boy, I'll get back at him. I'll never speak to him again. Other Christian says, he didn't mean to do it. He probably had a burden that day. Same thing. To one, a stumbling block. To another, a stepping stone. Two thieves died beside Jesus. One said, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and save us too, buddy. The other said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Same thing. Same event. Same place. To one, stumbling block. To another, a stepping stone. Two ladies become widowed. I recall one lady in this church. She said, I never... want to come back to church again. I'm 45 years old, and God took my husband. And if that's what God's going to do to me, I don't care if I ever walk inside the door of that church again. Not long after her husband died, another husband died, about the same age. And she said, thank God for my church. I don't know how I could have made it without my Christian friends. I don't know how I could live now without my church, without my preacher, without my strength I get from church. Same thing. Same event. Each lady lost a husband, about the same age, about the same time. One to one, a stumbling block to the other, a stepping stone. A recession comes. One person panics. What are we going to do? Oh, my soul, how are we going to make it? Another says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those are called according to His purpose. One says, I just don't see how we're going to make it. Oh, we're going to have such a hard time. And the other says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, same. Listen, I know people in this church who worked at the same plant and both were laid off at the same time, made the same salary, had the same job, and one is as happy as he ever was, and the other has become cynical and doubtful and has no assurance. What's the difference to one? The same thing was a stumbling block that was a stepping stone to another. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? What caused one man to see his pastor go wrong, and he said, I lost confidence in all Christians, and the other to say, I've got to watch it, lest I myself become a castaway? What's the difference? What's the difference in that lady who said, I hate God. He took my baby. She shot her husband and maybe even killed herself. And the other lady said, I'm going to help ladies who have similar burdens and give my life to strengthening those who are going through the same trial through which I went. What's the difference? It's all wrapped up in a little story in the Old Testament. We read a while ago. The Jews had just crossed the Red Sea. Are you listening? The Jews had just crossed the Red Sea. They were singing the song of victory. They came to a wilderness called the Wilderness of Shur, S-H-U-R, and there they stopped to sing the song. We're free! The Lord has parted the Red Sea, and we passed over on dry ground. And our enemies, who would have killed us and who did enslave us, have been drowned. The armies of Egypt have been drowned. And now the waters keep them from getting to us. And we're saved. And they sang and they sang. And they thought they would sing forever. But they did not sing forever. Because they came to this wilderness. And there was no water to drink. Now, folks, 3 days they went without water. For 3 days. Now, think about them. Think about it. For 3 days they had nothing to drink. In a desert, arid land. And they had nothing to drink. And finally, they came to a place called Mara. M-A-R-A, Mara. Or M-A-R-A-H, sometimes it's spelled. And they saw water. Good night. Man, I can recall when I was in the Army, we'd go on a 26, 28-mile hike with one little canteen of water. Man, I've taken that little canteen of water after about 20 miles and taken one little drop of water and just tried to try to get squeeze one more drop of water. And yet for 3 days, in a hot, arid place, they had no water. And finally, they come to water. And boy, you can imagine how happy. Water! There's water! And so they rush over and they start to drink that water. And suddenly, they spew it out. Because the water's bitter. Unbearable. And so Moses, the people started complaining to Moses, and Moses prayed to God. He said, God, what can I do? The people hadn't had any water for 3 days, and now we found some water here at Mara. The word Mara means bitter, by the way. And found some water here at Mara. And now then, we have no water, and now then we found it, and it's bitter. The folks can't drink it. What can we do, dear God? God said, see that tree there, Moses? And Moses said, yes. And God said, go cut it down. And he said, throw that tree in that water. Now there are trees in the world that sweeten water, but there are none in that part of the country. And out in Florida they have, I think it's a certain kind of a sassafras that does it. Over in India they have one, but not in that part of the country. There's no such thing as that kind of tree. But God, who made the tree that can sweeten water, can make any tree sweeten water. And so God said, get that tree, cut it down, and throw that tree in the water. And Moses got that tree and cut it down and picked it up and hurled it in the water. And did you know what happened as soon as that tree hit the water? Did you know that the water became sweet to taste? Now, those Israelites drinking that water was bitter, and made sweet by that tree. Teach us a lesson that all Bible students know, and anybody that's ever read this story knows what this story means. It means that if a person is facing the bitterness of life, there's only one thing that can sweeten life's bitter times, and that one thing is a tree. And that tree grew 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, outside the wall. And that tree was felled and made into a cross. And Jesus, our Savior, died on that cross. And when that tree on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, when that tree is thrown into life's bitterness, then life's bitter waters are made sweet. What's the difference in that fella who said, I don't have any confidence in Christianity, and the fella who said, I've got to watch it lest I myself do the same thing? The last fella had taken the cross and thrown the cross into his bitter waters, and the waters were made sweet. What's the difference in that lady who said, God took my baby, God took my baby, and he shot her husband and committed suicide herself, and she hated God. And that little lady whose baby died in her arms on the way to the doctor's office, who said, I'm going to give my life encouraging others. What is the difference in those two people? One thing, and that thing is the old rugged cross. You take the cross of Christ and you hurl it in the bitterness of your life, and bitterness becomes sweet. Why? Because the cross makes everything in life sweet. What's the difference in that two Christians mistreated? One Christian says, he did so-and-so to me, I'll never trust him again. And the other says, he's human, and he probably was tired, probably carrying a heavy load. I understand. I'll forgive him 70 times 7. What's the difference in that sweet, forgiving Christian or that one who's unforgiving and bristles and will not forgive? What's the difference? One throws the cross of Christ into the bitter waters and makes it sweet. What's the difference in those two ladies who become widowed? And one says, I'll never come to church again. And the other says, thank God for my church. Same thing. What's the difference? One made it a stumbling block. One made it a stepping stone. What is it? The cross of Christ. That's the difference. And I say this morning, as I look across this great sea of faces, I'm cognizant of the fact that there are hundreds of you, who to whom life is bitter this morning. But life does not have to remain bitter. Because 2,000 years ago, a tree was cut down. And into every bitter water that tree has been thrown for 2,000 years, that bitterness has been made sweet to the taste of God's people. You go back to the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote a sacred head for such a worm as I? The cross is the answer. For Mr. Reagan, the cross is the answer. Mr. Williams, the cross is the answer. Heartache, a heartbroken, the cross is the answer. Dear widow, the cross is the answer. Dear orphan, the cross is the answer. Dear bereaved, the cross is the answer. Unemployed, the cross is the answer. There never has been anybody in the history of mankind who took that old cross and threw it in their bitter waters. But what that cross did not make their waters sweet. Always does, always has, always will. And that's why we have some this morning in this room who are bitter. Because you've not thrown the cross in your bitter sea yet. That's why we have some this morning who've had just as many problems as you've had, and just as many heartaches as you've had, and just as many burdens as you have to carry today, and yet they have a smile and a song. What's the difference? On a hill far away, close the door, fell in the back, through an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. That's the difference. Difference is not some stupid psychiatrist. Difference is not some idiot's book on how to be happy. The difference is not some crazy psychologist who says, you come to me and I'll tell you the root of all your problem. No, sir. 10,000 times no, sir. The difference is Calvary. That's the difference. That's it. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died. On Calvary. That's it. And that piece of wood that Moses took that day in the place of Marah, after being 3 days without water, and then finding bitter water, and that piece of wood that he hurled into that water of Marah, that made that water sweet is telling all of mankind there's a piece of wood that on which Jesus died that can be hurled into every area of life's bitterness and can make the bitter sweet. Take death and throw the cross in it. It becomes the sweet joys of heaven. Take recession and throw the cross in it. It becomes the sweetness of God's care for His own. Take criticism and throw the cross in it. And you have the sweetness and the joy of turning the other cheek and being forgiven. Take suffering and throw the cross in it. And you have the joy of knowing Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Take loneliness and throw the cross in it. And you have, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Take poverty and throw the cross in it. And you have, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You take sin and throw the cross in it. And you have sweet forgiveness. You take stoning and throw the cross in it. And you have Stephen looking up and seeing Jesus on the right hand of God. You take the fiery furnace where the Hebrew children are being punished for not bowing down and worshiping the image in the plains of Dura. You take that fiery furnace and throw the cross in it. And you have the fourth inner like unto the Son of God Himself. Let me tell you, dear friends, you've never known real joy till that joy is made with the cross. Joy that's made with prosperity is not enduring joy. Joy that's made in spite of poverty is enduring joy. Joy that's made because of health, anybody can have that. Joy that's made because of God's presence in illness, that's real joy. Joy made because of optimism and fair weather is not real joy, but joy that's made with knowing the cross of Christ thrown into pessimism and foul weather. That's what real joy is all about. You just take the cross, take that old rugged cross, and throw it today across your bitterness and throw it into your bitter waters. And I'll guarantee you the sweetness of the water has never been more sweet, and you will never enjoy it more. And I'll guarantee you those Jews enjoyed that water in Marah more than they ever enjoyed a drink of water in their life. Because they had known thirst. They had known bitterness. But now they know sweetness. How have those who have lost children in this room, I was looking around a while ago and counting people that I know who've had little children to die. I counted 12 couples sitting in this audience this morning, just looking around. I counted 12 couples whom I know have been to the silent city of the dead and placed a little one who called them mommy and daddy in a grave in Babyland. How can those couples keep smiling and laughing? Because of the cross. Looking around a while ago, I saw Jack Delvey back there singing. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And Jack's had a stroke now, had a stroke years ago, and been paralyzed for years now. How can that man sit back there or stand back there while we sing? We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. What's the difference in him and some guy at home trying to curse God under his breath because he's had a stroke? I'll tell you the difference. It's Calvary. That's the difference. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. The old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. And he'll call me someday to my home far away where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cling to the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I laid down. Oh, let me tell you something. This morning you don't have to be bitter. Oh, but you say you don't understand what's happened in my life. Throw the cross at it. Throw the cross at it. But you understand my loneliness. Throw the cross at it. Night before last, one of our college students, Doc, you probably know it. I don't hear it not. About the nail on the fellow's eye. One of our college students was at work. It must have been Friday. And something ran over a nail. The nail was hurled up and hit him right in the eye. Had surgery. doctor said 90% chance he'll never see out of that eye again. And also a chance that that eye goes blind, the other may be void of color perception the rest of his life. Or the young man couldn't be over 21 to 25 years old, somewhere in there. I talked to his girlfriend. I said, do his parents know it? He said, we haven't been able to find his parents yet. That young man, thinking he's going to lose the sight of an eye with his own family, not aware of it, rolled into surgery without one person in his family to watch him and weep with him and pray for him. How can he take it? I'll tell you how he can take it. Throw the cross at it. That's it. Throw the cross at it. Just like Moses took that tree, felled it, and hurled that tree in the bitter waters, and the waters became sweet to their taste. While I was watching the ushers take the offering, saw Dick Wilson back there smiling to somebody. Well, I wonder how Dick and Peggy could ever smile. When in a youth conference a few years ago, their teenage boy walking down to the Civic Center in a van, through no fault of the driver or the boy either, just an accident nobody can understand, suddenly took that boy's life. A little teenage lad, a fine young man, taken out into eternity. How can they smile? Well, I know people who've had the same thing happen to them, who've been bitter the rest of their life. I mean, they've got a chip on their shoulder. They hate God. They hate everybody. How can they smile? I'll tell you what it is. It's the cross. You say, well, these people need to go to have psychiatric treatment. No, sir, the dumb psychiatrist needs to go to the cross. This country wasn't so bad when we believed the Bible. And anymore, listen. If for every psychiatrist we get, we got 5,000 people going crazy. There was a day when you had a hard time finding somebody who did not believe this book in this country. And in that day, we had a nation that was patriotic. We had a nation back in World War II. Most of you folks don't know about it. If a fellow didn't pass the physical, he'd lie about it. Fella couldn't get in the army. Some of you old settlers know this. A fella couldn't get in the army, he joined the merchant marine, which was sort of a civilian navy. It was a day when a fella was an atheist. Everybody said, guess what he is? That's the neighborhood atheist. Now they say, guess what he is? That's the neighborhood believer. Right now, Boston Celtics are playing the Milwaukee Bucks on television, basketball, nationwide television. 40 years ago, you wouldn't have enough folks to watch it. Everybody was in church. The problem with America, we've left the cross. Our mental problem, we've left the cross. Over here in Chicago, the schools can't afford enough people to walk the hallways to protect the students and faculty from being attacked or killed. What I can recall, and you can recall, you didn't have to have policemen in the hallway of a school. The only person that was afraid of getting killed was some of us students. Afraid of that paddle hanging on the wall. What's the difference in America now and America 50 years ago? One word, C-R-O-S-S, the cross. The cross. Back and saw Larry Stromberg taking the offering, smiling, cutting up with people, misbehaving. And as I saw him, I wondered if he ever forgets that Saturday afternoon. I was called to his house and saw little Sharon lying, burned to death in the bathroom just outside the bathtub. We got word to Mrs. Stromberg, who was shopping, come home, and I met her a block from the house and said, asked her to pull the car beside the road. I sat down with her in the front seat of the car and said, Mrs. Stromberg, Maxine, There's a fire at the house and Sharon's gone. What's the difference in a fellow can take the offering and smile and be cheerful? What's the difference in that person and people today who are in state of silence because bitterness has driven them to distraction? Because the same type thing. One word. Calvary. Calvary. Reiner's sitting back there and had surgery this week on his hand. If you've ever shaken his hand, you know he must be embarrassed sometime to give you that hand he has to shake. I never saw that man disturbed in my life. I never saw him with anything but a smile on his face and a happy word to say. Why? What is it? Oh, you say, it's in his genes. No, it's in his Jesus. It's the cross. It's the cross. That's why Mrs. Rice can lose a husband, a daughter, and a brother in 1 year. Still smile through it all. It's the tree thrown into bitter waters. That's why some folks can take bitter waters, keep going forward, and some folks take bitter waters and rush back home. That's why some folks can take bitter waters and smile and say, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. And others will say, I just can't take it anymore. What's the difference? The difference is the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, life is not all wrapped up of crossing Red Seas. And life is not all built on singing the shouts upon the victory of the defeat of the Egyptian armies. Life is made up of some days of thirsting. Life is made up of some finding water that's bitter. And everybody in this room, if you've not had your bitter water, you'll have your bitter water. And by the way, most everybody here has already had it. And what you better do is you better just take the tree that was felled 2,000 years ago and look to Calvary and throw that Calvary in the bitter waters. I told my class this morning, I've been singing all morning and last night, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. Yeah. He's a friend that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. That's where you find the Savior. And that's where the cross is really at its best. In the shadows. And so when you follow the little hearse out to baby land, and they don't need 6 pallbearers, one's enough, or maybe the undertaker picks up that little box, it's just about that long, and carries that little box and digs a hole in the ground and lowers that little box in the ground, and you walk away after hearing some preacher tell you about the little children in heaven. You go back and you look at a bronzed shoe on the mantle. Little crib that'll be empty now. You take your choice. It can be a stumbling block that'll embitter you, or it can be a stepping stone that'll raise you. One day years ago, I was out soul winning. I was out one of these streets in Hammond between Riverside Park and the Borman Expressway, the other side of the expressway, just before you get to the Munster City limit. I knocked on the door. Nobody answered. I heard a car come in through the alley. And I went around the back, and a little lady was getting out of her car. She had groceries. And I said, ma'am, I'm Brother Hiles from First Baptist Church. She said, I'm glad to meet you. And I said, could I help you with the groceries? She said, no, I can make it fine. And I said, let me help you put the groceries in. So I did. I helped her carry the groceries in. She had 3 big sacks, 1 little sack. I carried the little one. Just seeing if you're still listening. And so I helped her in. I said, now, could I tell you? I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, no, I'm not the least bit interested. She said, that's not my mind. She said, that's my mind is full. She said, I haven't got time to talk about that now. She said, my mind is filled. And I said, well, what with? And she said, Mister, she said, just a few days ago, our only baby was buried. And she said, I just can't think about anything but that. She showed me a little shoe that was bronzed up on the mantle. And I said, will you ever see the baby again? She said, well, of course not. No way to. I said, yes, there is. She said, you mean there's a way I can see my baby again? And I said, oh, yes. And I told her what David said. He cannot return to me, but I shall go to him. We knelt there, and she prayed, came to Christ, happily converted, walked the aisle, was baptized the next Sunday. What's the difference in the bitterness of last week and the joy of this week? A tree. The cross. Sing it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. That's the answer. Sing it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. You don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to drink the bitter waters. There's a sweetener, a tree called Calvary. Father, bless them.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in your Scofield Bible, page 1300. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, reading verses 19 through 25. And we'll read these verses responsively, please. And after reading those verses, we'll have another verse to turn to, and I'll instruct you on that in just a little bit. Let's rise, please, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And let's read that 25th verse together also. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 12. Revelation 12, 12, page 1341. And we'll read this verse together. Would you join me, please? Ready? Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let's pray. Father, bless the service. We're, of course, confident that your word will not return to you void. We believe in the reading of it, the preaching of it, the practicing of it. We pray for your help and your power. Bless preacher, we pray, in the special way that's needed, and everyone here, help us all to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.